Hi, this is A Couple Takes on MS. This is Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
We want to welcome you to our show. And just a few things before we get started. The name of our show, A Couple Takes on MS, really has a couple meanings, no pun intended. When we talk about this, we actually are a couple who lives with multiple sclerosis.
I was diagnosed with MS when I was 23 years old, which, frighteningly, was almost 20 years ago. And as you can hear right there, I just had a big spasm. So there's no doubt that I understand MS. And Dan, how long have you been living with MS?
I actually was diagnosed with MS when I was 27, so that was about 18 years ago. I have relapsing remitting MS. I've been living with it. I've handled it pretty well. I think that the disease has been, I don't want to say merciful, but at the same time, I mean, it gives its challenges, but I'm still able to walk. I work full-time at Central Michigan University, and but everything has its challenges. So you've been living what, Jennifer, for?
I've been living with MS since I graduated from college, and I was working at my first job down in Detroit, Michigan, and I just noticed some numbness and some double vision, and lo and behold, after the testing, I was diagnosed with MS. And unlike you, Dan, I was diagnosed with a pretty aggressive form of the disease. And only 5 years after my diagnosis, I could no longer work or walk. But I've been doing well and holding my own, despite the fact that I am in a wheelchair. I know that's a very scary thing when you're first diagnosed, but I've managed to have a pretty good quality of my life.
And I think that makes it interesting when we talk about with you being in the wheelchair and just how it is scary, I think, for everybody when you're first diagnosed, but at the same time,
it's not as horrible as you think. I remember when I was first diagnosed, my doctor gave me a book, and he said, don't read it. Why would you give me a book if you don't want me to read it? But I went through and read it with tears in my eyes, and I highlighted every statistic and every fact about the number of people that maintain their ability to walk. And that was always my fear. And I don't know if you out there are scared about walking, but there are so many more medicines available now when you're newly diagnosed. Then when Dan and I were diagnosed, we had three options.
Yeah, we had three options, and they all were injectable. And so I think there's always the comment that now is a good time if you're diagnosed with MS, because there's nearly, 14 different kinds of medicines?
Absolutely.
And it's no longer injectable. I mean, there are the oral medicines, and there also are the infusions. So with this, I mean, you're saying, oh, okay, well, here's two people with multiple sclerosis and their husband and wife.
Well, okay, you didn't know that.
But no, Dan, I'm sorry, and I are husband and wife.
And we've been married for almost 12 years. And Dan is my primary caregiver. But for as much as he's my caregiver, I'm his caregiver too. So that's the important thing about if and when you ever, your MS, your disease worsens, you have to reframe the idea of what a caregiver is. You know, Dan needs me just as much as I need him.
I was going to say, when we're out and about, you know, because Jennifer's in a wheelchair and we're out there, it's like so often people think that I'm her caregiver, but indeed, she does so much for me. And that's the other thing, too, is for everybody with multiple sclerosis, it's not a one-way thing. It's very much we still are involved. We still can contribute. And I think that's the big thing, is to always remember that there is something that even, you know, a lot of times we'll say, oh, well, that's not much. I didn't do much. It's just like everything helps.
everything adds up so that we all make a contribution. But I don't want to get preachy. I mean, living in a wheelchair kind of stinks. But, you know, it's the same challenges. Dan has challenges even though he's walking. And that's just the disease. You all understand. Excuse me, we have our days when it's just the disease, the monster, if you can call it that, where it's just a little more prevalent in our life than we want it. But I think we all go to bed at night with the hope that we'll wake up and it'll be a better day.
There's
always a
hope. And
that's what keeps us going.
Always a hope for a better tomorrow, I think. And if you're listening, or if you, this will be recorded, but this is airing on the eve of the 4th of July, and I imagine people are out either watching the fireworks live or on TV or something. But, you know, when we're talking about multiple sclerosis and independence, and that's what we'll talk about here at this program, is once you're diagnosed with MS, do you feel like you give up some levels of independence? And if so, what are they? And how can you regain independence? And I think a lot of times the independence comes with the perspectives or changing the way we think about things.
And absolutely, it's important to know that you still have independence, because sometimes I can feel like a prisoner in my body, and I think the independence is knowing that, yes, you have a disease. And I don't want to be trite and use that old phrase, I have multiple sclerosis, but it doesn't have me. But that's the truth. And today being Independence Day, what better day to recognize my independence from the disease? I can make choices and be proactive. I can take my medication like Dan was talking about. You know, that there are 14 different options. And I can just really take care of myself.
And I think that is the big thing, is that medicine provides the power that, you know, I take, and we in no way, shape, or form are promoting drugs. We're just being there, being honest and factful. I mean, I've taken the Betaseron for pretty much all 17, 18 years that I've had MS, and that's... you know, a sub-Q shot every other day. And I'm doing well with that. I think that, you know, obviously there's days I don't want to take my shot. And I mean, I'm, again, not condoning bad behavior. I mean, there's some days I just don't feel like doing it.
Some days you just don't feel like having multiple sclerosis and it gets in the way. And I'm sure you all understand that. But you still have to be proactive, and you still have to take control of your medication. I've been using an infusion. Again, we're not recommending medication, but I've been taking rituximab, which is an infusion I take two times in a row every 6 months. And that has managed to stave off my MS. I haven't regained my ability to walk, but I'm still strong. And, you know, that's important, taking your medication and being informed enough to ask a doctor. I know the next time I see my neurologist, I'm going to be asking about the newly released ocrelizumab, because that's an option. Again, Dan and I had 3 choices, and look how many we have now.
And I think that, and it's like, I mean, let's be honest, like right now, we actually, I mean, we live in Michigan, but we had come back to Iowa for Independence Day, more so to visit my family. And last night I had the reminder from my Mango Health app that it's okay, tonight is the night I'm supposed to take my medicine. And I honestly wasn't going to do it. I'm just like, I'm so tired. We've been driving. We've been doing all this. I just don't want to mix up my shot. But it's like, you realize that that investment of like 2 minutes to take your medicine, whatever that may be, is like, that's my contribution to my independence and to my freedom to do everything I can to slow down the progression of the disease.
But at the same token, one of the things you need to do with MS is listen to your body. So when Dan said he was tired and he stopped, you know, yes, we're here seeing family and we don't want to be party poopers, but we did. We were saying we need to get some rest. And your family and your friends will appreciate if you listen to your body. Because instead of sitting with family and yawning every 30 seconds, we said, you know, we're going to take some time, go to bed early, and that way we'll be that hopefully more charged up in the morning.
And I think that's one of the hardest things to do is to listen to your body, or it's at what point do you push yourself. And I think that's the other way. And it really, with independence, a lot of it's just like regaining whatever control you can. And I think that's where being able to know when to stop, that's my control. And that's not a question of giving in to the disease. It's just owning what you have.
Well, and if you push yourself, I mean, if you really push yourself, aren't you kind of ending up giving the disease the final say? You know, if you kind of are having a good day and then you end it because you're so exhausted, you're not ending on a good note, a positive note. You're ending it because your disease whipped you out. Whereas if you would have said and been proactive, I'm going to just call it good, you're going to get your rest and you're going to be able to wake up the next morning and not feel like you ended on a bad note.
Well, I think that's just something that you can't, it's hard. I mean, I've been living with it for 18 years and you still don't know when, as far as the judgment of like, is this what I'm doing, or am I really tired? Am I really this? I mean, these are challenges that we'll have, I want to say, every day. I mean, and the reality is, I think whether or not you have MS, that's just something everybody deals with. I mean, certainly we deal with it on an entirely different level.
On a little more continual level.
Yeah, it's
like, but, you know, we're talking about independence, and independence to me, I'm in a wheelchair, and I think that wheelchair can be somewhat limiting, but I don't think about it being like I'm in a wheelchair, I'm confined or something. I use that wheelchair, and that gives me the independence. I mean, if I didn't have a wheelchair, I likely wouldn't be able to be making this trip with Dan to see all the things I'm doing, and my wheelchair gives me the freedom and the independence. Haha. Pun on Independence Day. Sorry, I'm a little cheesy like that.
Well, and I think that's what it is. I mean, where there's the notion of the it seems like the common use of words where people say, you know, you're confined to a wheelchair, but it's truly you're not really confined. It's like that is the tool, the method that gets you the ability to do so much more. So what a blessing in some, I mean, in some senses. Again, it's just the reframing. But again, I, you know, as somebody who can walk, and you know, the thought of being in a wheelchair, I'm not.
And trust me, we're a married couple, and there are those days when I get crabby, and I'm sorry to admit this, where I'm crabby, and yes, I'm human. I'm a little envious of those that can continue to walk. But I'm never going to hold that over Dan and say, oh, you've got it so easy because you can walk. I'm blessed and I'm thankful and I'm appreciative that he continues to want to be my caregiver and help me. And he, at the same token, doesn't ever say, oh, you're so lucky, Jennifer, because you don't have to work 40 hours a week. He knows that when he's working, when I'm not working, I'm trying to do things to help our household and our family, if you will say that, just to make our life keep going.
And I think that that's one of the, again, the other example of, you know, just because she's not there working, I mean, she's doing so much. I mean, that's the ability to continue and finding things. I think that's with the reframing and just looking at things differently. And I think that's, you know, with a couple takes on MS. I mean, it's just like, you know, just looking at things. I think that's what we hope to do in all of our programs, is to help provide you those sorts of tools and just ways to think about things. And so,
and it is, I mean, not to belabor a point, but it is a frustrating disease to live with. And it is, you know, with social, with going to support groups and reaching out to your resources over and over again, I say, or someone in our group says to us, or someone online in a community will talk about what a head game that multiple sclerosis is. It does a lot to your body physically, but the biggest challenge, in my opinion, is what it does to your mind, that the mental games that you have to play to stay tough. I mean, I don't know, it'd be interesting to hear what you all think is one of the biggest challenges of the disease. But I think it is that mental game, and you need to mentally be tough. And some days you just don't feel like it, but you have to wake up every day. It's like we're Olympic athletes, and every day is our gold medal competition. You know, we've got to stay tough.
And I think that's good.
Thank you. I had a moment of brilliance. Thank you.
Well, but it is. I think it's like the mental games we have to do just to stay in the game and keep ourselves prepared. And I think that's the one thing that you also have to do, though, is give yourselves those moments to be upset. I mean, I don't want to for a second make it sound like everything's cheery and rosy in Camp Digman. I think that, with the MS world, you need to get frustrated. But Jennifer uses the thing, it's like, when it's a place to visit, but you don't want to live there. I mean, you just have the moment, but then move forward as the best you can. And I think that's where is redefining what it is, what's success for you. And that's the one thing, is just to celebrate the good times, the good things that you're doing. I think it's so easy to look and say, like, you know, everything that we can't do or no longer can do. It's just like, focus more on everything that you still can do.
And, you know, I wake up in the morning some days, and it's really, I want to just go back to sleep. And I don't remember, if I don't consciously think about the fact, you know, I'm in Iowa. Dan and I made this trip. We're getting to see family we haven't seen in a year. But if we were in Michigan, I would celebrate the fact that, oh my goodness, Michigan's having a gorgeous day of weather. Or I was able to brush my teeth. That's a challenge. You know, I've been living with MS. I have secondary progressive MS, by the way. And I've been living with the disease for a long time, and I've been having more of a challenge brushing my teeth. So when I'm able to do that, I'm like, gold star for the day I was able to do that. Or when I'm able to do something physically, because that's important, I have to stretch more, and I need to lift, even if they're small 1 pound weights, I have to continue to maintain my health and watch what I eat. And, you know, when I make good choices, not to talk about myself like I'm a 5-year-old, but when I make good choices, that does help me. And that's something I need to celebrate, that day and that next day, you know, and that's really important.
And I think that's what it is just remembering that, to be physical, to take some of that, maybe because these are responsibilities that we have, the one things that we can do. And I think that,
again, we're making good choices.
And making the good choices that I used to run. I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, after I was diagnosed with MS, I actually took up running. But as I ran, you know, the more tired I got, I'd start dragging my left foot. And I
as I'm sure many of you understand.
You understand that, you know, there's just things, and I started falling a lot, and I think you can only fall and hit your head on the pavement one too many times, where you're just like, okay, I think, and again, that was just making that conscious decision that there are other things I can do. But it's like talking to my sister last night, she's talking about exercising, just how she's getting back into it and doing more walking, and she was going to get up this morning because she's staying here at the hotel with us, and was going to go down to the fitness center here at the hotel just to do whatever. And I'm thinking, I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, I don't do that, and those are things I could do, is just to get up and go exercise, or even just so much as to stretch. The other night, I just the moment, you know, for as much as I focus on helping Jennifer to stretch, I think that's where I lose sight of that, and I think that's something for all caregivers, you know, one way or the other. You're so focused on taking care of the other person, we need to stop for a moment and take care of ourselves. And I think that's the big thing that I need to do.
And as the one who is sometimes being taken care of, I need to remind my caregiver, and you have to not just physically take care of yourself, but Dan needs to mentally take care of himself too. Sometimes, you know, he needs a break from Jennifer, or he needs a break from the responsibility of working all day. And then coming home, and maybe he needs to put on some good tunes and just spend some time with himself, or sitting outside and eating peanuts in the sunshine. He needs to take care of that, because you are such a complex person, especially when you factor in MS. You need to take care of your body and your mind. And as you're a caregiver who's not living with MS, there's a lot of responsibility on you, but there's also a really great gift that you can spend time with the person you care for. And that person needs to respect that caregiver's got a lot on their plate too.
And I think that's what is just the open communication with your caregiver, and just that give and take, and the giving and receiving that makes everything, you know, function better. But it's like it's a challenge, and I think we also have to remember to give ourselves that latitude.
But we sound like we have it all under control, but it's MS, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. It's a challenge every day, and it's one that we're up for, and that's, you know, why we're doing this radio show, because we have perspectives we'd like to share, but we'd also like to hear, you know, what people have to say, and what we can talk about, because we are two different perspectives, you know, male living with MS and a woman, and that different takes on MS we'd like to share with you and hear what you all have to say.
Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, from a man with MS, a woman with MS, a man who still can walk, you know, a woman who's in a wheelchair, you know, plus then that dynamic of being married, being caregivers. We want to share information just to help other people live with this disease. And so with that, reach out to us. Let us know what topics you want us to talk about or provide perspectives on. Again, it's, you know, a couple takes on MS, and we would just the different variety, because we all know that no two cases of MS are the same. And reach out to us on our website is danandjenniferdigman.com, or email at Digman, that's D-I-G-M-A-N-N, digmand@msn.com. Or reach out to us on Twitter, and the handle is DanGenDig. And just let us know what you're thinking, what we can talk about to help give you perspectives on how to tackle this disease. Because there's like over 400,000 or 2.3 million people worldwide
living with MS, and we're just two who've had this opportunity. And we really want to hear what other people have to say. For as much as we like to get things off our chest, it's nice to hear what other people are going through and to share and commiserate. And that's what this opportunity, this radio show, is giving us, is a platform to have the world have a humongous support group and to share back and forth. And Dan and I really appreciate that you all have been listening and celebrating Independence Day with us.
And with that, you can check out more about the perspectives on Independence Day. We wrote an essay about it on the Mango Health blog, and it just by chance, and that we're not just one of those things where we wrote it and we're just like, well, gosh, Independence Day, let's talk about it. But
isn't that perfect timing?
It is, and so I think that just look on the Mango Health blog, and there'll just be other perspectives that we didn't share here on the show. But we're looking forward to checking back in with you next week. We'll air on 8 p.m. Tuesday evenings, and they also will have the show recorded. But thank you so much to the MS and Me Networks that they invited us to be a part of this, and I mean such an incredible station for the MS community to help so many others. So we really appreciate this opportunity to be a part of that.
Because together we're, not to steal the National MS Society's tagline, but it is true, together we are stronger and informed. Knowledge is power. So thank you for listening to our inaugural radio show. Have a happy 4th of July.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time for a couple takes on MS.